The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
I heard that you had a Bitcoin wallet.
It wasn't a wallet then. You had to put it on a hard drive. It's so long ago when Wences made me do this so I could see it. And it was on a hard drive, on a thumb drive. It is somewhere in the world, unless it's gotten destroyed. And so at the time it was, for some reason, $50 sticks in my head. I bought 10 of them. I just did it for a story just to see how it worked. And then I proceeded to lose it. So there you have it.
With the rise of blockchain and AI, we are living through a pivotal time when it comes to the development of technology. Our next guest is a journalist who has lived through it all. The first piece of tech journalism she ever wrote was on October 3rd, 1980, and it was on the fraudulent use of payphones. Now, for all of the young people watching who have no idea what I'm talking about, there used to be phones on street corners that you would put a quarter in to make a call. Yes, that used to really happen. Now, since then, she's become one of the most prolific, recognized, and sometimes feared tech journalists of our time. She sat down with the likes of Mark Zuckerberg, Elon Musk, Steve Jobs, and more, and isn't afraid to call it as she sees it. Her latest book, Burn Book, A Tech Love Story, chronicles her journey, and she joins us today to unpack some of her story and weigh in on what she thinks about blockchain, AI, and everything in between. Kara Swisher, welcome to First Mover.
Thank you very much.
I'm really excited to have you here because we cover crypto and blockchain, as you know, and I have been waiting to hear your thoughts on what's going on in this industry. But let's start at the very beginning. You know, a lot of folks in this industry, a lot of people who are building say that we are living through a very similar time right now as the beginning of the internet. And I know that you did some very, very deep reporting at the beginning of the internet. What do you think?
No. No, I'm sorry. It's not the same. I mean, the internet was a major Cambrian explosion. This is a tiny one, I guess, a volcanic eruption on Indonesia, I guess. Like, that's what's happening now in the news. It's a very important area of technology, but it's not the most important. I do think these industries this had a huge hype cycle and a lot of scammery around it. And a lot of people who were, serious technologists. And that did happen at the beginning of the internet cycle. There were a lot of ridiculous companies and Ponzi schemes and this and that. That was a world-changing event, the introduction of the World Wide Web and also the browser and those kind of things. The second one was mobile. Crypto is important, but a side alley, as far as I'm concerned.
I'd love to hear more about that. I mean, just given your experience, given what you've witnessed over the past decades, how do you think crypto is going to unfold? Like, what corner of technology is it going to have in the future, do you think?
Well, it's just going to be a thing. Just like, I don't know. It's just, there's a lot of stuff that's just a thing. It's not the center of everything. And the crypto people really overplayed their hand in that regard, saying it's going to change everything. You know, this is a typical thing of technologists, is that it's going to change the whole world. Well, it's not going to change the whole world. It's going to change their little corner of the world, which is great. When I first got introduced to crypto was through Wences Casares at Zappo, and he was from Argentina, I believe. And obviously it made sense for there to be a cryptocurrency there because of the massive inflation and everything else. And that's how he talked about it. So it was a tool of efficacy at the time. And then it sort of took on a life of its own. There was the whole party element of it, Puerto Rico, all the insanity of that. We wrote about it a lot at Recode, Recode actually. And, you know, it's interesting. There's interesting implications of contracts and, you know, NFTs sort of went up in smoke pretty much. You know, they wanted to apply it to everything, that it would change every little thing. And I think that was the problem. I think there's some really interesting applications around it. Obviously, it's a speculative instrument right now. I think it's going to go up again soon, or it has been rising because it's splitting, I guess. They're limiting the amount of Bitcoin. So, you know, maybe one or two will become a speculative instrument, and that's fine. But again, it's not world shaking. I don't think everyone's going to be using Bitcoin in the near future to trade money or to use for, you know, that's where it could have gone. The problem is money works just fine, you know, for most people. And so that's, it's got to replace something that's better. And so digital downloads of books are, well, they're not better than books, but they're very good. So it's got to be replacing or answering a problem. And I'm not so sure there was that many problems. There's some, but money is kind of digital already. I don't know. People are always like, when you digitize money, I'm like, when's the last time you saw your money? It's already digital. So I don't know. It overstepped itself, but it'll be a nice, you know, little corner, a little, you know, everyone's obviously shifting now to AI. That's the hype. And that's the same thing, except this AI is a big deal in comparison. It's just that everyone has to slap AI onto their company name, and then they're an AI company. I mean, everybody's an AI. Again, AI is like electricity. We'll be like electricity, the way the internet was.
I wanted to ask you, you know, I've heard you say that you've heard tech innovators, tech founders say, we're going to change the world. We're creating a community. And these are words that are very prevalent in the community that's building out blockchain technology.
Sure.
We're creating a community. We're changing the world. We're doing things differently. We want to get rid of these centralized entities that have been ruling for so long. Yeah. I know you've said when you've heard it in the past that they didn't actually mean the words that they were saying. Do you think that remains true?
Oh, I think they believe them. I don't think they're true. It's fine. A lot of the early internet people were like that. And, you know, the first line of my book, Burn Book, is, you know, so it was capitalism after all. If they had just admitted what was happening, I would have been much happier with them. But instead, they had to cosplay characters from a science fiction movie, like they're Darth Vader or whatever, or Luke Skywalker. And, you know, it's very romantic to think of your industry as nothing, you know, as that, rather than we're just making money. Like, that's not as exciting. And to sort of have a grandiose and arrogant vision of what you're doing. I mean, I just don't think the people who made Twinkies talk like this. They just made Twinkies. That's what they did. And Twinkies shall bring everyone together. Well, Coke kind of did. We like to teach the world to sing. But that was a jingle. You know, like, and Coke actually has brought us together more than most products, if you think about it. It's worldwide, it's everywhere, it's ubiquitous, everyone knows the name. So I think Coke probably has done more good for the world. Well, no, not for teeth. But anyway, you get my point.
I heard that you had a Bitcoin wallet.
I have one somewhere. Yeah.
Somewhere. Well,
it wasn't a wallet then. You had to put it on a hard drive. It's so long ago when Wences made me do this so I could see it. And it was on a hard drive, on a thumb drive. It is somewhere in the world, unless it's gotten destroyed. And so at the time it was, I should go to find my story. For some reason, $50 sticks in my head. I bought 10 of them. And it was definitely $50 at the time. Mm-hmm. And there was nowhere to put it. There was nowhere to put it. It was on a, you know, you had I don't even recall. I just did it for a story and just to see how it worked. You know, I did that with lots of products and stuff like that. And then I proceeded to lose it. So there you have it. There's my fortune.
Do you think about it?
I have no idea
still?
Where it is. And if I found it, I wouldn't be able to access it. You know what I mean? The whole thing is just a disaster. And I mean, you know, it's sort of like me turning down jobs at Amazon, Google, Facebook. I turned down jobs at every AOL, at every company right before they got big. So that's just me. I just love losing money.
Do you ever think
I was
about
aware
it
was going to be big. Same thing with Bitcoin. I thought it was really interesting. I definitely at the time when I started looking at it, and I'm trying to remember the companies that were around then. Oh, what's his name? The guy who did the video thing. There was a whole bunch of different really interesting companies around it. And these were real entrepreneurs who were trying to solve a currency problem across the world. You know, it was much more international. So that's what attracted me to it, was the idea of, you know, we in this country, in the US, you're lucky enough, the dollar's stable, right? And so that was a really interesting story to me. And then it sort of got overtaken by, you know, we're going to stop the man. And I was like, you are the man, but okay, sure. go ahead, stop the man. You know, that it became kind of more about that. And I think they lost their way in terms of what's the product use, right? And what's the actual product use? And I think every great product, every great technology has a product use for a wide range of people. And that's where it got lost and became speculative. And yeah, that's a shame because there's so many really interesting, you know, ideas around the blockchain. Whenever you hear some of the really good ones, they're cool. They're cool. But it's a little like, you know, I think what they've lost is it's a little, the interesting ones are not that interesting to talk about, even if they're important, mm-hmm. if that makes sense. So, you know, I think what someone told me, you should, the way to make money is to be in a boring industry, and you should have been a little more boring. It should have been a little more boring to talk about. But, you know, and then banks got into it, and the government has you know, obviously started to regulate it, and it's sort of in a slow, choppy way. And you know, the banks are into it. So they think it's important enough for it to be a product. I don't think they're just doing hand waving.
Well, outside of the currency aspect of this industry,
yeah.
there's
that's
you know,
what
the decentralization of things, right? And I'm curious,
contracts.
Just given your experience, you know, decentralization is really like the antithesis of the Googles and the Facebooks
Absolutely.
Of the world.
I love a lot of decentralized things. Decentralized moderation, what Reddit's doing, I think is great. I think it makes sense. When there's one person in charge or a choke point, there's all kinds of problems, monopoly problems. They're just not going to do as good a job as a wider range of people. So decentralizations, I think, can be a solution to a lot of technology problems. Absolutely.
Well, here's my question for you. Do you think that it can actually become mainstream without the participation of some of the centralized entities like the Googles and the Facebooks?
No, not the Googles and the Facebooks, but in the case of, well, if you're using it as a currency thing, no, governments are not giving up that one. They're not giving up the military and they're not giving up banks. I'm sorry. Good luck getting it away from them. And so, you know, you can talk about it as much as you want, but one of the central applications of government is money, right? Kind of understanding the economy and running the economy. So, and in terms of Google, I mean, they're all focused on AI now, right? And I think that they all had these big crypto projects and they kind of went by the wayside. You know, I'm thinking of David, I just was talking the other day, David Marcus, who was running their money. What was that called? I don't remember. What was their money called? I can't even remember. Whatever their projects have taken the backseat to AI and everything else. And so, by the way, so has virtual reality, right? That's way mm-hmm. back in that's down in the basement again. They sent it back down to the basement and said, good luck. You know, that's what happens with these companies. So I guess one of the things that's good is they're not focused on it. So kind of small companies can thrive always when they're not interested in it, but the stuff they're interested in, they'll put their weaponry array it against it. In this case, yes. So yes, in this case, yes, there's an opportunity for small companies to thrive in an environment where the big ones aren't that interested or as interested.
I know we don't have a lot of time to chat here, so I do want to talk about the actual people who mm-hmm. have brought these technological innovations to fruition, people who you have some deep relationships
with some of them.
We've seen so many innovators in tech start off with really progressive values, right? And as they become more successful, they start to maybe lean more libertarian, more Republican. Mm-hmm. Their values seem to change, at least publicly.
Sure.
Why do you think this is?
You know, it's interesting you say that because this morning someone was sending me a tweet from someone he and I knew well, and he suddenly, utterly radicalized. It's weird. This guy was a lovely fella and kind of non-political. One of the things that's sort of a trope about the Valley is that it was political. It wasn't. It wasn't liberal. It just, they weren't interested. I never had political discussions with these people for years and years. You know, I would say mild. I used to call them jokingly libertarian light because they didn't even know what they were talking about. But they didn't have, I would say political values were in the back burner for them for most of the time. And of course, the only person who ever expressed things was Bill Gates to me about the government should get out of our way. That was their thing. Government should get out of our way. And so I suppose it's a pretty close hop, skip, and a jump to saying the government's trying to you know, radical, to become more radical and think they're of the deep state and things like that. It's, you can see the, it's not a straight line, but you can see the line. The other thing is they're rich and they want to, they think they're, they know everything. And so, you know, when you're rich, you think you know everything about everything. You have VCs talking about Ukraine, which they know nothing about, or, you know, no more than I do or you do. But they pontificate, they've got these platforms to pontificate on about whatever topic they feel like. And, you know, it's just the deleterious effects of money and attention on some of them. Some of them have good characters and can sort of understand what's, you know, why people are being nice to them. And the others think it's because they're so smart. And so that's what happens with these people. They get in smaller and smaller bubbles. And anything that you say that challenges them makes you a lib or a progressive or whatever. It's just exhausting to, you know. And then, you know, along the way, there's the alleyway down, anti-trans alley. A lot of them have moved. Weirdly, this guy, who I never heard a word about trans, suddenly is on and on about trans kids. It's weird that it's become such a huge topic among these people. As you know, Elon has a trans kid, and I suspect that's where some mm-hmm. of it comes from. I'm not his psychiatrist. He needs one, but I'm not his psychiatrist. You know, I don't know. I don't know. You know, I just think they become rich, and that's what happens to rich people. They want to hold on to their money, and you know, they want the next dirty dollar, so they do what it takes, and so they vote Republican. You know, it's not an uncommon thing to happen. But some of their need to express it constantly is childish and juvenile, and you know, look at me kind of stuff. But you know, whatever, they can do whatever they want.
I mean, speaking of the powerful folks in Silicon mm-hmm. Valley, I know you've talked about this, but Silicon Valley was really built off of young people coming in and disrupting mm-hmm. and taking over the old, right? And when I was
Go ahead. I'm super excited for young people to take over these people because they're exhausting and tiresome at this point. Now, you know, interestingly, younger entrepreneurs, I love them. They're so interesting. They're focused on the product. They don't feel the need to cosplay being politicians or whatever. You know what I mean? It's like that happens inevitably. These people get rich and bored. You know, why we're listening to Bill Ackman explain DEI to us at all is inexplicable. You know, he's now the world's expert on DEI. I'm the world's expert on hedge funds. I think I'll just write a 90-part series on hedge funds. Like I wouldn't be that arrogant. So anyway, there's all these really great entrepreneurs who are sticking to including in crypto all over the place, and not just crypto, but blockchain, that are making great products. And I find younger people much more interested in, they're much more mission-driven than the original people because they don't talk about it, right? They're very interested mm-hmm. in all. I love talking to young entrepreneurs because they just haven't gotten soiled by their wealth in ways that the others have.
Well, I was going to ask you, you know, when I was talking about the decentralization, can mm-hmm. decentralization really become something that's mainstream without these big players like the Googles and the Facebooks getting involved? With AI and blockchain, both are very mm-hmm. expensive. These young entrepreneurs need money to innovate in these spaces. And so is something structurally changing in Silicon Valley for young entrepreneurs to get that kind of money to make the same innovation as before? Like, is that even possible today?
That's a very good question. I talk about this a lot. First of all, these AI and stuff like that isn't making money. Like, that's one thing. So it costs a lot of money to do it. And the compute is very expensive, and the development, the number, you know, it's a very expensive endeavor. And the early internet was not. Anybody could do it, right? It was the tools were so inexpensive to create Uber or Airbnb. You just didn't need very much capital. In this case, you do, right? So that's the problem when you have like a ChatGPT or Sam Altman raising $7 trillion or saying he is to create chips and things like that. You just really have to understand only the big companies can afford to lose this money and afford to pay for this. And therefore they will dominate it. And that is a worrisome thing because the early internet was anybody could ride it. And this is not that.
In the book, you talk about Star Wars and Star Trek, Star Wars being, I guess, the more evil version of how tech might progress. Are you hopeful that we could head towards a more Star Trek future?
No, I don't. I wouldn't say evil because that's taking it too far. When Google said don't be evil, I'm like, is there some way station before evil that we can maybe don't violate people's privacy? You know what I mean? Like evil is kind of dramatic and you know, I remember when they said it, I was like, really evil? We're going right to evil? Like, it's kind of funny. And of course, that shows how dramatic and ridiculous they were in their thinking. and needlessly so. No, I don't, because I think it, you know, the first line of my book stays, it was capitalism. I think people, when they tend towards capitalism, tend to be, and it's a good thing sometimes. I prefer a kinder version of capitalism. That's how I like to practice it. But I mean, capitalism does create all kinds of wealth for lots of people. It would be really great if they could think about it more for the larger entity, but they can't, because their shareholders are their first, you know, the primary objective, as they say in Star Trek, is the prime objective is shareholders and money making. And so I think it would be very hard. And there's so much control and money to be made in this next era, that it's hard to imagine that it would be anything but a race, you know, an arms race to become the dominator of this. So that'll be very hard. And I think that's where government does have a role in terms of regulating it, and having some say in safety and dealing with bias, safety, you know, what we can and can't make, you know, things we can agree on globally, very much like nuclear energy or cloning, or, you know, you could see that's the role of government in these kind of things.
You're someone who's excited by technology. Any technology mm-hmm. that you're excited about right now?
I'm interested in all kinds of tech. You know, I just think the perfection of some of this stuff and the ability. I'm really interested in generative AI, like how, you know, search was years ago when Google was ascendant. And I said, search is so Neanderthal. Like someday they're going to say we type words in a box. Like, why didn't it just deliver it to us? Right? I kept saying, this is a way station on the way to something else. And they're like, Google's so amazing. I'm like, literally, you type words in a box and then you get like links and then you have to go from links. I was like, this just doesn't make sense. So the idea of knowledge being permeated throughout your life is really fascinating to me. I find that really like, when is it going to like, when am I going to wake up? And they're like, you know, you have this today. You're going to take this long to get there. You know, I just saw this movie and I just watched Civil War, which is not a very good movie, by the way. And can you tell me a little bit about this director? And then I'll stop them. You know, that kind of thing. Like, you could see that being really interesting and being helpful for more people if it mm-hmm. was done in a way that became a tool rather than a weapon aimed at the heart of democracy or whatever. You know, that could be really interesting.
One day, maybe your AI and my AI will do the pre-interview. Right. And when we get here, we'll know exactly what points to.
No, I'll be dead by then. So don't worry. This is for my children, not for me.
Kara, thanks so much for joining the show. It was a pleasure.
Thank you.
Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on AutoTrader. Just you wait. Auto Trader.